We are lucky to be joined live right here on WFAN by a Cy Young award-winning, a four-time All-Star, a two-time World Series champion, and a guy who knows a little bit about playing baseball in both boroughs. The doctor is in. Doc Gooden, welcome to the Danielle McCartan Show here on The Fan.
Hey, good evening. How you guys doing? Thank you guys for having me. I'm definitely excited about the Mets, for sure, and also as well as the Yankees.
You know what? When I think of you, Doc, I think of you as a Mets. So we'll start there. One word to describe the Mets 2024 season so far is?
Incredible. I would say incredible. A lot of excitement, and the fans are bringing it. They're very electric. I love it. I mean, I've been at the last couple of games when they play at Citi Field, and that atmosphere is unbelievable, and that's what the players feed off of. So fans, please keep that electric coming. Keep them excited, and I'm sure the players going to follow up and do well. I'm excited about the season, about the series coming up with the Dodgers. I know we're the underdogs, but underdogs don't mean anything. That's why they play the game. I have a lot of expectations and high hopes for this team.
I know the TV cameras captured you out at Citi Field cheering them on, and I know you're there quite a bit. You're at a lot of games, but how did this series clinching win at home feel different than any of the other times you've been there?
It was different because it's been a little while, and the players, and I think the way the season started with the 0-5 start, and then the way the team has come together, the enthusiasm, I mean, and how the fans are into it, how they changed the atmosphere around the stadium with the live DJ and all that. The older crowds, the younger crowds, and Steve and Alex Cohen have done a tremendous job taking care of the fans, making sure they're enjoying the game. They renovated parts of the stadium, which is great. But now it's like, after I've been on the game for so long, and when I go to the games, especially this year, as you mentioned, being at the ballpark, you get to be just a fan and enjoy it. I still love the game. Love the game a lot. Obviously, I'm always going to be a Met at heart. And just being a part of that and high-fiving the fans. And it was just a great time for myself as well.
Yeah, it was fun to watch on TV, I'll tell you. What have Mr. and Mrs. Cohen expressed to you about this team down in this late stretch here? What have Mr. and Mrs. Cohen expressed to you about this team in this late stretch, the late goings here?
I think the main thing is that they're at the games. They're at the games. You see Steve a lot in the stands, you know, enjoying the game and what they're doing and their attitude and their expiration and the way they enjoy the game as well. And I think it feeds all the fans before the game, Steve, you know, out shaking hands with the fans, things like that. And Alex, you know, she's walking around the stadium, things like that. You normally don't see ownership doing that. Mm-hmm. I'm sure the fans love it. Me being part of the alumni, we love it. And it just shows how much, just not winning, but how much the fans and the alumni mean to the new ownership. I think it's a great thing.
One of the greatest Mets of all time, Doc Gooden, joins us right now live on The Fan. Doc, you alluded to it. The beginning of the season looked bad, like really bad. But what has Carlos Mendoza done very well in his first season as manager?
I tell you what, I'm very impressed with him because, you know, being his first year, he's solid. He don't show, you know, too much emotionalism, whether it's going well or not. He sticks to what he believes. And even though this day and age is a lot of analytics, but he goes with his gut a lot of times. Mm-hmm. And everybody he's pushing has been the right button, especially down the stretch. And the thing that I'm more impressed with is he keeps everybody fresh. Everybody's playing, his whole bench. He uses his whole bench to keep everybody great. Everybody's in the game. So you never know what he's going to do. And sometimes, you know, he makes moves and you say, oh, why do you do this? But it all works out. He's a great baseball man. I enjoy the time I spend talking to him as well. And he turned everything around. He got everybody believing in and buying into what the Mets are doing. And it's great to see what they're doing now.
For me, it was the locker room meeting. But to you, what was the turning point of this Mets season?
I think the thing that turned it for me was once guys started believing in themselves. And, you know, I, as a former player, sometimes I've been on good Met teams, I've been on not so good Met teams. Mm-hmm. And you see sometimes where your plan is almost like you're waiting for something to happen. You're playing not to lose, mm-hmm. instead of going out there with the attitude that we know we're going to win. And I think, just my personal opinion, I think early in the season, it seemed like they were waiting for something bad to happen or playing not to lose. But it's easy to say as they're winning, but the turnaround for me was now they're playing when they take the field, whether they're down two, whether it's late in the game, what have you. They're expecting to win, and as rubbing off on all these guys. And I think it helps when you have a pitcher that don't have his good stuff, but knowing somebody's going to come in and they got his back. If somebody don't get the big hit, you know the next guy's going to do it. And that's what brings the winning attitude and the winning atmosphere to a team. And that was the biggest change I've seen from my opinion, just seeing the changes in the players' approach every day.
So you're saying, does the purple grimace have anything to do with it?
Oh, it definitely plays a part.
Oh, okay.
You know, a lot of guys won't tell you, but most athletes, especially baseball players, are very superstitious. I know I was, and grimace plays a big part. It's definitely a big part of this winning.
What were some of your superstitions?
My biggest thing was, I remember in the minors, I started out 0-3, and the one particular day, I washed my car before a game. I got to win, and this is in Lynchburg. I went on to win like 17 straight games, and so it was about washing the car. And when I made it to the majors, every day before I pitch, I'll always wash my car. Even if it was raining, I'll wash my car. So it wasn't the talent or me pitching or the hitters we had. It was about making sure I washed my car.
Squeaky clean car. I love that. Francisco yeah. Lindor, you know, you see him up close and personal. What could you talk about the impact that he has had on this team this year?
I think watching him, you know, I knew him a little bit when he was with Cleveland. A tremendous first-class guy. Plays the game hard. And the thing I'm most impressed with him is that he takes the field every day. I know he had a little back injury,
yep.
You know, last part of the season, so he had to take a couple of days off. But this guy plays every day. And when he first came to New York, he was struggling a bit. Fans were on him. But he kept grinding. He didn't see no difference in his attitude, his preparation, anything. And now everything is paying off. And I think the team goes as he goes. He's a true leader by example. And when he plays and he takes the field and he's on, I think the team feed off of that. And so he's been doing it. He's definitely, I mean, obviously with the year Ohtani's had, he's probably going to be MVP, but Francisco in my book should be a close second.
I agree. Doc Gooden live on the Danielle McCartan Show here on The Fan. Doc, looking ahead to the NLCS, obviously the Dodgers, what is a weakness of this Dodgers team that you know of that the Mets can really expose?
I think with the Dodgers, I like to see them, the pitching, you know, the guys, they made a couple guys not healthy. I know they got I know I'm going to say his name wrong.
Yamamoto.
Okay, good. Okay. Thank you. He's coming back. You know, he's pitched well this last start. Last night he pitched real well. He's coming back. But I think, you know, the Dodgers are solid. It's going to be a tough fight this series. But I think if the pitcher, I think the advantage goes to our starting pitchers over the Dodgers starting pitchers mm-hmm. right now. Mm-hmm. So I think that's the advantage. And you can't win without good pitching. And we're hot right now. So, and the thing I like about our lineup, anybody in that lineup can beat you. I mean, it's a solid lineup. And the Dodgers, I mean, they're strong. I mean, their first three guys, Ohtani, Betts, and Freddie Freeman get all the publicity. But that lineup is strong. So it's going to be tough. We're going to have to build our A game, but I like our chances.
What's one thing that worries you about this 2024 Mets team?
I think the only thing worries me, I like to see, and this is me personally, there's two pet peeves, I'm going to say, and it's not no knock on the team. You asked me, so I got to pull two things. I like to see when we score a run, the next inning, we shut them down. I think we've been struggling a bit. I don't know what the stats are, mm-hmm. but I think we've been struggling a bit with the pitchers shutting down the opposing team after we score. Okay. I like to see us shut them down the next inning because it's very important with the momentum. Mm-hmm. Another thing is, this is looking at it from a fan. When men on base, we got to do a little better job of moving the runners over or getting them in. So that's the only thing. Just getting more consistent with that. We're getting big hits late, so it's really hard to pick something out. I mean,
sure.
I'm really digging here, but those would be the two things I'd like to see improvement in.
I know Edwin Diaz, he struggled this postseason so far. He cited his mentality earlier today. But when you watch him pitch, Doc, I mean, obviously you're one of the greatest to ever do it. What could you point to as to why he's not himself? Is it mechanical or is it really is mental?
I think, and again, watching Edwin, who I think is one of the top relievers in baseball, mm-hmm. We have to remember he missed all of last year. And he came, when he started the season, he came in pitching pretty well. Then he hit a funk. He's been a little inconsistent throughout the year. But when you miss an entire season, it's very hard to get everything right back on track how it was the previous year. I said it for my own thing when I missed the entire year in 95. Mm-hmm. When I came back, I started 0-3, and it was tough to get, you know, consistent. So I would say this year, obviously, we want to see him because he set the bar so high the previous year. We'd like to see him go in and dominate every inning. Sure. But it's not that easy. So let's give him a little slack. What he's doing, I think he's doing okay. Obviously, I'd like to see more consistency out of him. And I think right now it's going to come. I was glad to see him come in that game in that situation the other night to close it out. And it's just more, I think it's more probably mental than physical with him because the velocity is still up. The spin rate on the breaking ball is still there. So a lot of it is just sometimes as pitchers, and I've been there, where things are not going the way we start to doubt ourselves. Hopefully that's not the case with him. But sometimes we get in that rut, and we just need something to happen that turns around to get fully comfortable back to where we were, you know, before the injury or before we had the struggles. And I think he's going to be all right.
How did you pull yourself out of that?
With me, I had to have, and to be honest with you, it was tough. You start doubting yourself, thinking, you know, things are not right. But once I had a good game or decent game, and you start believing in yourself, working hard between starts, but once you get on the mound, you can't think about mechanics or anything like that. You just try to throw strikes, and it becomes muscle memory, and anything comes back. The main thing is just believing in yourself. Even when others don't believe in you, if you believe in yourself, it will come, because he has to understand, and I have to understand, once you've had success before, it's still there. As long as you're not hurt or it's no injury, it'll come back. You just have to believe that you can do it.
The Doc Gooden live with us on WFAN. Switching over to the Yankees real quick, Doc. In your opinion, why does Aaron Judge struggle in the postseason?
I think Aaron, you know, obviously, and it's just, again, just my opinion. Sure. I just think watching him, obviously, he's the guy other teams you face every time in big games, playoffs, postseason, what have you. There's always one guy in each lineup you say, this guy's not going to beat me. And I'm sure with the scouting reports, Alex is up, they're probably thinking, we're not going to let Judge beat me. And looking at it from a judge is doing, he's probably trying to do too much, caring too much, trying a little too hard. And the expectation is obviously there from, you know, us, the fans, the media, and probably him as well. And I think with him, you just kind of go back to the basics of what you're doing. Easier said than done, once again, but he has to understand, just let it come to him. He has good hitters, you know, in front of him, with Soto, good hitters behind him, so with Wells. So it's kind of just, they walk here, whatever, just stay with your game plan and try to slow the game down.
Carlos Rodon is an emotional starting pitcher. Does it help or does it hurt to have that makeup on the mound and such a pressure cooker, ALCS, probably game one?
I think this is where the teammates and the pitching coach plays a part, because you want him to be himself as much as possible. You want him to approach it as he does his regular start and his regular makeup. You like to do that, and people say try to approach it as like a regular game, even though we know it's not a regular game. Each game has a lot of meaning. So I would let him be himself, but the players around him, you have to understand, let's get him some runs early where it could take, you know, try to, you know, slow his momentum down just a little bit when you get into a rhythm and a pace, because that's who he is. And you don't want to take away of who somebody is because of the magnitude of the game. But you want him to be himself, but the teammates around him, the pitching coach around him, you just have to find something. And plus the catcher plays a big part of this, knowing his personality, to try to at least have him in a comfortable rhythm where he's doing what he does best, you know, because that's who he is. He's a very hyper pitcher, and that's just what you want. You want a guy to be himself.
Two-time World Series champion Doc Gooden with us on The Fan. Doc, that 2000 Subway World Series, looking back, what would you change in order to have pitched in that World Series?
Oh, man. Oh, I would love to have pitched in that. I mean, even though I was on the other side, I was with the Yankees, but, you know, that, it was so much fun for the city. For me, it was a little different coming in, you know, on the business bus, business clubhouse, business bullpen. So that was different, but just the fact that the whole, I mean, we had a week to prepare, and how families, everybody was doing so much for the home. And my kids, I have 7 kids, so my older kids saw me with the Mets. They're Mets fans. My younger kids were Yankee fans. So having those kids in the jersey, I mean, it was just so much fun. But for me to pitch, I would love to get a part of that, because I felt the part of it. Mm-hmm. But when you don't get in a game, you don't feel like, you know, you're a whole part of that. So this is a little different, but it was a lot of fun.
If it is a Subway World Series this year, when the TV camera pans to you, which team's colors are you going to be wearing, Doc?
Oh, I'm always a Met at heart, no doubt about it. I mean, I appreciate the Yankees and what they've done for me and my family. I wish them nothing but the best, but when the Yankees and Mets are playing each other, I'm always going to root for the Mets, and I'm always going to be a Met at heart.
Before I let you go, Doc Gooden, I have one more question for you, because I appreciate, I value your opinion, your transparency. I have to ask you about Pete Rose. Has he served his quote-unquote lifetime ban? Should he be elected to the Hall of Fame?
Oh, man. Wow, that's tough. I'm trying to finish while getting emotional. Pete, I know I'm going to get to your question, but, you know, sure. Pete, growing up in Tampa, the Cincinnati Reds had spring training in Tampa. And my dad used to take me to a lot of spring training games. I got to meet Pete when I was 9 years old. I got his autograph. I took a picture with Pete. And fast forward 10 years later, I'm facing Pete. I told Pete the story. I got him to sign that picture. Mm-hmm. We're friends ever since. And for me, you know, in life, everybody makes mistakes. I mean, I've made my share of mistakes off the field. Pete, what he did, you know, obviously it was a big mistake. I thought, you know, he paid his dues. I didn't think he deserved a lifetime ban. I mean, it's one of the guys that played the game the right way, even though the gambling part was there. But when he took the field, you know he was going to get 110%. I mean, the respect he had the game from the guys who play with him and for him, you hear him talk. They tell you how he impacted their careers. I know how he made me a better person and a better player just by having the relationship I had with him. And so I might be a little biased, but I do feel he deserved to be in the Hall of Fame. And I wish they could have put him in while he was still here with us. Mm-hmm. But I have a feeling that it might happen now. Unfortunately, he's gone. But, you know, I honestly think he deserved to be in.
We are lucky to have been joined live right here on The Fan by one of the best to ever do it. Doc Gooden, thank you so much for making time for us tonight. I really appreciate it.
Oh, my pleasure. Thank you guys for having me. I really appreciate you guys.